We will be joining in communion in a few moments. And unless I forget to say it or mention it, we practice an open communion, which means if you are a brother or a sister in the Lord, you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we invite you to worship the Lord with us in our time of in the time of communion that we will have in just a few moments. And you know, we've been talking about God's love, and we began this morning in our Grace Connection groups this morning talking about God's love, God's redeeming love, and it's difficult to talk about His love without joining in communion. And so as we move toward our time of communion together, think about the love of God that He has given to you through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are here and you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, these are the words that we have been singing, the verse that we began with, that we are putting to memory, the verses that we will look at, continue looking at today in Psalm 36. You have to understand, and this is a truth that is not very PC in our time, but if you're not in the Lord Jesus Christ, these words that God has given us do not apply to you. These words are for His people. These words are for those who have trusted in Christ. We say that we misuse, and I have to be careful with this, saying this, we misuse the word God's unconditional, the phrase God's unconditional love, and we just kind of blanket the world with that. And so the person who rebels against God's demonstration of His love, the person who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ all of their life, cannot say at judgment, well, Lord, everybody told me You loved me unconditionally. And so You've got to let me, you can't judge me. You've got to let me into Your heaven. God's love is conditional. Its condition is Christ. That's His condition, receiving Christ. And if you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ, you are under the wrath of God, not the love of God. The love of God, in a general sense, has kept you alive this long so you could hear the gospel maybe one more time and not reject Him. But my friends, you are living under the wrath of God as children of wrath, which is a terrible place to be. It is dangerous to fall into, the Scripture tells us, it is dangerous, it is terrible to fall into the hands of the living God. Why? You say, but why would God be so harsh? He hasn't been. He sent His Son. You have rejected His offer of love to you. You're the one who's rejected. You're the one who's turned away. You're the one who is forsaken, not God. And so His love is conditional. His love is conditional in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so just know that when we talk about the love of God today, it's for those who are His people. And if you're not in Christ Jesus, the Scripture says these words to you, today is the day of salvation. Today. Do not harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. You cry out to Him. Trust Him. Trust the work, the saving work of Christ on the cross to save you. What a great song. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and it reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win this erring child. He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. The last verse we're told was found on the, tradition has it that this last verse was found on the wall of an asylum. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk, every little weed on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, it would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though it were stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. The story of Ruth, that those of you who are in Grace Connections this morning, and if you've been attending church very long, you've probably heard of Ruth and Boaz. The story of Ruth is the book of Ruth is the love story. And in the love story, there's a man and a woman, and they fall in love in the normal Hallmark sort of way. And it's a very romantic love story, an account of what we would imagine a strong, handsome man and a beautiful young maiden. Yet the Old Testament book of Ruth is not a love story between a man and a woman. It's a greater love than that. It is an account of the love of God for His people. God, who made the promise to Eve in the garden. We see that continuing to be fulfilled in the book of Ruth, in the account of Ruth, in Boaz and Ruth. Matthew 1, verse 5, we read these words, Solomon, not Solomon, Solomon, the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. And the lineage just goes all the way to Christ from there. And God, who made a promise to Abraham, we see that promise continuing. God made a covenant. And what does God always do? He always keeps His covenant, always keeps His promise. And we see God that continuing through Boaz and Ruth. We read in Genesis 2:2, and He says, "And I will make you a great nation." He spoke these words to Abraham. "And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing." And so the story of Ruth, the account of Ruth in the Old Testament, is the account of God's love for His people, keeping His promise and His covenant to His people. It just happens to be in the context of a man named Boaz and a woman named Ruth. And we don't discount that, but it's not what Ruth is about. It's a greater need. There's a greater need for us to believe more than just in the love story between Ruth and Boaz, because they both, as in the Old Testament terms, went to be with their fathers. And so that love between them, what? Parted at what? Death. But the greater love of God the Father to His people, to Jesus, to His bride, is eternal. A love that the Scripture says, that we've looked at already, says steadfast. Steadfast means resolutely firm. It means unwavering. And we understand that in as much as we can in the context of us, but I could say to Kelly, my love for you is steadfast. My love for you is unwavering. And without the grace of God, what is possible for me to do in the next 10 days? To get in my car and start driving and never come home. Right? So is it steadfast? I just proclaimed to her today, honey, my love for you is steadfast. So we understand that in our terms, but we don't really lay hold of that and put a whole lot of promise in that, do we? I could say my love is steadfast to her, and I could die tomorrow. The memory of my love for her would continue, but my love for her would not continue. So she would say, "Well, that wasn't very steadfast, was it?" And she would be right in trying to understand steadfastness in our fallen world, in a finite understanding of it. But when the word is applied to God, it's a whole different ball game. Because see, it is steadfast in Him. There is no doubt in our mind, or there shouldn't. I mean, there are times, but there should be no doubt in our minds, because God's not going to die tomorrow. God's not going to get in some divine vehicle and drive and never come back. So when it's applied to God, the steadfast doesn't, we don't define it in our terms. We define it in His terms. And what are His terms? Based on His character. He's eternal. He's immutable. He's all-powerful. He's holy. All in all His attributes and care. That's how we define this word steadfast in Psalm 36. And when we put it to His love, it's not here today and gone tomorrow. And this is how God describes His love for His people in His word. It's how God describes it. Not David who wrote this. David's just relaying it all. And this is how God describes it to you. This is God speaking to you, His word. And you see, when we look at the book of Ruth, we see God's steadfast love for His people. What did He do? He provided what? What do we call it? A what? A kinsman redeemer. He provided that for His people, keeping His promise. A foreshadow. Foreshadow of Christ. The Christ connection that we have. And who is Christ? Is He just another Boaz? Absolutely not. He is the great kinsman redeemer, the eternal divine kinsman redeemer. Now we look at the book of Ruth and we say that was a long time ago. And it was maybe that was a nice story for that time period. And we ask the question, has God's love for His people, the saints, who are the saints? A select few that we bestow an honor upon? Absolutely not. The New Testament uses the word saints. Paul uses it over and over and over. Who's he speaking to? The church, God's people, all of God's people. And so, has God's love for His, is it the same today as it was with Boaz and Ruth? Sure, you bet. Why? Because God's love is steadfast. And let's read some of these timeless words to help answer that question, because you may be sitting here thinking, as a believer, you may be sitting here thinking, does God really love me? Psalm 36, we'll pick up in verse 5, we'll read through 12. Your steadfast love, O God, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. That'd be a great Mac Powell song, wouldn't it? How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. And with you is the fountain of life. In you, light. Your light, do we see light? Oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of arrogance come upon me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the evildoers lie fallen. They are thrust down, unable to rise. And I want us to look at four things from this passage, just for us to be encouraged, for us to be edified today, to leave here today knowing that God's love is steadfast. And let's just kind of look at what he says. He says that his steadfast love is greater, and we can say that, than all other loves, the way he describes it. His love extends to the heavens. We sang the song at the very beginning, to the sky. So how far do the heavens extend? Well, in our meager mind, we consider them infinite, don't we? There has to be a place somewhere, because only God is infinite and make his creation the same as him. But in our minds, we can only consider the heavens as infinite. They just keep going and going and going and going. We imagine them without end. And yet, that is how God describes his love for us. His love is described elsewhere as everlasting. We read in one of the Psalms, your love endures forever. Over and over, he repeats that over and over throughout the whole psalm. Your love endures forever. Think of the one person. Just take a moment. Think of the one person in this world, on this earth, who loves you the most. You don't say it out loud, but just think. The one person that you consider on this earth right now that loves you the most. Guys, be careful. Think of that. Take that one that person's love, and that person's love doesn't even begin on the scale of God's love for you. And you can maybe sit here and think of hundreds and hundreds of ways that that person has loved you and shown you love, and yet it doesn't even start up the scale of God's love for you. So when you feel as though God doesn't love you, and there are going to be times in your life when you have that misappropriated feeling, you may be feeling it right now. What are we encouraged to do? We're encouraged to go out on a cloudless night and look up to the heavens. And we're encouraged just to kind of look and remember this verse, your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. And then you can walk back inside your house knowing that no matter what's going on in your life, as real as it is, we don't minimize that at all. What's going on is real. You know that God loves you and his love is steadfast. And that's not just some nice little warm fuzzy word to say. God loves you. Have a happy day. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact of you clinging to the very fact that God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his son, his only begotten son, to die in your place, to die for you. And that is a love that extends higher than we could conceive in our hearts and minds. His love is also guarding, verse 7. Our verse we're going to hide in our heart this week. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. See, in his love, you're called to take refuge in his wings. It's the picture is a mother hen with her chicks when they're in danger. What do? They run and they snuggle up against old mama hen, don't they? Because the rooster might be pretty rough in the hen house, in the yard, but a mother hen is going to be worse. And so they run and they snuggle themselves up under mother hen. That's the picture. What does she do? She covers them completely so that whatever the danger is coming can't even see them. And she protects them. And we're called to the picture is the same for us. When our soul feels like it's in danger, when we're scared, when we're afraid, when anxiety wants to take over, what are we called to do? We're called to run to Jesus. Proverbs 18:10 tells us that the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous do what? Run into it, that strong tower. And he covers you with his steadfast love. And that's where you find refuge and safety. Luther wrote about this. He said, and though the world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. What's his truth? His truth is his love is steadfast. That's his truth. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word will fail him. One little word. You see, God has you in the shadow of his wings. And we have to understand, this is hard to understand, the sovereignty of God. Without his permission, without God's permission, nothing will harm you. Nothing will harm you. Nothing. Wherever you are, when fear and anxiety seek to chase you down and to tackle you, what are we told to do? What is the truth of God's word? We take shadow in the refuge of his wings, in his steadfast love. Why? Because it's guarding you. And there's nothing that can come between you and the Lord. His steadfast love is also giving. It's greater, it's guarding, it's giving. Verses 8 through 9. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. See, the picture here is the abundance giving to you. It's a banquet table. And it's though you're standing at this end of the banquet table, and the hall goes this way, and the table is filled with food. You don't even see the tablecloth. It's filled with food. And you're looking down it, and you can't even see the end of the table. It's like you're standing in Waycross, Georgia. And you're looking down the train track. And what do you see? It looks like it comes to a point. So you look that far down the table, and it's nothing but abundance. That's his love for you. That's his steadfast love for you. It's a river, he says. It's a river that's full to its banks, and the water's crystal clear, and it's deep, and it's wide. And you're standing there, and you look this way, and you can't see the head that way, and you can't see the mouth this way. And it's flowing by you. That's the picture of abundance. And in his love, we're told that we eat and we drink to our satisfaction. We're told that throughout the scripture. And we're not talking about gorging ourselves. We're not talking about gluttony. We're talking about that which we need, that sustenance we need, the grace that we need. It's there. All we have to do is partake of it. When we're weak, we partake of it. When we're afraid, we partake of it. When we don't know what to do, we partake of it. His abundance. We drink when we're thirsty. It's a fountain of life, we're told. It never stops flowing. Jesus said in John 6, he said, I am the bread of life. He who takes of me will never be hungry again. Then in John chapter 7, he says, I am the living water. I am the living water. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So wherever you are, we're told to come to the table of the Lord. We're told to come to the table. There's songs right now. There's songs out. I can't think of who sings it. We've played it before. Come to the table. There's songs being sung right now on Christian radio that talks about the river, coming to the river. Those aren't just cute little songs. Those are truths that we have from God's word. We eat from his abundance and drink to delight. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, we're told. Is this not good? This is good stuff. His steadfast love is guaranteed, verses 10 through 12. He says, oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright of heart. Let not the foot of arrogance come upon me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the evildoers lie fallen. They are thrust down, unable to rise. David speaks of the arrogant, the wicked, and the evildoers as those who come against him and God's people. And he is assured that even though they come against, they will never be separated from God's steadfast love. And I want to read a passage that we refer to quite often here at Grace, and rightly so. To to just do a great commentary on this verse. Listen to what Paul wrote to the church at Rome. When we think about his steadfast love is guaranteed, and it will continue, as he says in verse 10. Romans 8, 31 through 39. What shall we say then to these things, Paul says? If God is for us, who's against us? He, speaking of God, who did not spare his own son, but gave his son for us all, how will he, God, not also with Christ, his son, give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. And then he asks the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, he says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him, through Christ who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God's people said, amen to that. That's his steadfast love. Nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And he says these words, oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you. Verse 10. We see that God's steadfast love is greater. It's guarding, it's giving, and it's guaranteed towards you. Why? As we quoted Romans 5:8 before, because he's demonstrated his love for you, in that while you, the ungodly, while you were living an ungodly life, God gave his son, and Christ died for you. What a great way to finish this time of worship together, remembering God's love for us in the celebration of communion. Remembering Jesus' death, we're told, until he comes. The greatest demonstration of God's love. And so I'm going to ask our elders if they will come and be ready to serve. And if you've never celebrated communion with us, we may do it the same way that you are used to it, or it may be a little different than what you've experienced before. But how we, just to give you kind of an instruction here on what we do, is we ask you to come at when you're ready, when you desire to come, and you'll receive the elements here. From our elders here at the front. And what I'd like for us to do is nothing real fancy, nothing showy, but as you come, think about, as you're standing in line or you're coming, as you're sitting there waiting to come, think about all the ways that God has loved you. Think about the ways that God is loving you right now as his child. And as you receive the elements, just, it's very appropriate for you to just say aloud, thank you, God. Thank you for loving me. And so come, as the Lord leads, come and let's celebrate the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and the demonstration of